tremendous importance of the Ten Commandments is a really important discovery. It can take the place of a vast amount of literature. If we want to accept the Sermon on the Mount, or maybe one of the Pauline epistles, and find in it a statement of conviction and policy, very simply put in words. Most of the great scriptures of the world were written with words of one or two syllables alone. But the integrity is the thing we're looking for. And we generally turn from that to something exciting, something dramatic, something that stimulates the wrong emotions. All great wisdom quiets emotions. It does not destroy them. It makes them quiet, peaceful, and useful at all periods of life. So the feelings of all kinds contribute to growth. Actually, also, in the search for integrities, we have to realize what most people are now discovering, namely, that where education ends as we know it, true learning begins. We have to recognize that most education as we have it today is equipping us to live in a world which is itself deformed. It is helping us to adjust to something that is not true, not real, and not purposeful. We may have to make certain adjustments in order to survive, but we must never for one moment forget that they are adjustments and not mistake them for legitimate ends. We must realize constantly that we must try and strive in every way possible to adjust our lives to those principles which endure and which have lasting benefit. Therefore, maturity becomes more or less a symbol of an ability to do things in a right way. The mature person is companionable, peaceful, helpful, cooperative, inspiring, and hardworking. The mature person is not deceived by false values, is not a fame hunter, is not willing to settle down and rejoice in a vast fortune of money, which he does not know what to do with, and will either properly give away, spend, lose, or leave behind. All these false values have to be cleared up. In society today, for example, the world is gradually coming up towards the 5 and 6 billion human beings. This means that little by little, humanity must learn to live with itself. This business of living by preying on itself will not work. Mankind never can be a successful cannibal. Mankind must serve to protect these values about which today he is indifferent. For the sake of an immediate profit of a few million dollars, we will destroy that which is necessary for generations to come. We will depart from all common sense, valuing things only in terms of cash, and gradually destroying the very ground from under our own feet. Now, we do this with a good straight face, and we listen carefully to people who advocate it, and we assume that they're normal, mature people. That if a person in 50th or 60th year tells us that we should do a certain thing, this must be given very grave consideration. When in the fact of the matter, so-called maturity as we know it today is simply a very powerful intellectualized self-centeredness. It is something that has no consideration for real value. We are always advising people to do what we would do, and when we do what we think we should do, we're sick. So the whole thing doesn't work out. So maturity is something we can't think about at the moment. We must not think of ourselves as wise enough, strong enough, or great enough to think our way, plot our way, scheme our way out of the dilemmas we are now in. The only way in which we can solve these problems is to gain greater and greater relationship with our own internal life. Somewhere locked within ourselves is a divine principle which embodies within itself the entire pattern of universal law. The divine law, natural law, and human law are all within the person. They're inside. They're there because they have been brought along down with the very principle of fecundity. We inherit this basic life pattern or we die before birth. And the fact that we can breathe, that we can think, and that we can make mistakes is a proof that there is a power within us in which we have an access that is tremendous and universally redemptive. The power inside of the individual is a redemptive power. Power on the outside is usually destructive. But this inner power cannot function unless the individual stops misrepresenting his own nature. The true patterns of maturity must come from a partnership with the laws of existence and not a constant violation of universal law in order to achieve physical gratifications. So inside of the person, as every mystic has known, every esotericist has known, the whole code of nature exists. It is available to us. It is a code higher than that of the animal. It is a code which, however, he reacts to instinctively and we react to intuitively. And intuition is instinct that has been stepped up to a higher level to meet the needs of a creature more highly evolved. So with intuition about things, an intuition which is clear of all ulterior motive, we each of us have within our abilities a true code upon which to build. There is inside of us the very laws that we are seeking on the outside. We have spaceships going off to planets. We are doing all kinds of things to break and split atoms and so forth. But the great scientists, or the great sciences of existence, arise from the intuitive inward recognition of divine purpose. The individual matures when the reality in himself comes through. He matures not when his mind takes over and makes a despot out of him. He is mature when his soul takes over and makes a liberator out of him. He becomes a great person when the divine greatness moves through him. He remains a tiny person when he tries to be great without enlightenment. So all these things must be all considered in one way or another in order to reach what we might call a grown-up state. And Lord knows we need it now. We cannot keep on being eternal children. If we are going to be children, and there's a way of doing that that is very interesting also, if we're going to be children, we must be childlike. This was the secret that Mencius learned from his mother. Namely, that childlikeness is simplicity. It is faith, it is trust. And strange as it seems, very often this trust in another also corrects the other person. If some child trusts us, we are going to try to be worthy of that trust. Therefore, childlikeness makes a world in which people are inspired to keep the ideals and beauties and truths of each other. But childhood in the ordinary sense is simply ignorance. Now, somewhere between ignorance and wisdom, we are existing today. And we are looking around to try to figure out how we're going to legislate out of these problems. We're going to try to figure some way to balance the world's budget. We're going to try some way to get rid of a nuclear armament. But we're doing it all through appealing to the exterior part of the individual. We are trying to tell him that he'll kill himself if he doesn't do something about armament. This is true, but it's not the basis of a correction. We are assured that if we don't do certain things, our economy is going to collapse. Well, if we do certain things we're doing now, it will collapse. There's no way of preventing it. All of these outward things have to be moved, directed, inspired, and sustained by inner convictions. The reform that we are looking for must be that to realize that every human being that comes into this world has a fight on its hands. It must struggle between self-interest and universal good. Every person that comes into this world, seemingly, is to a measure at least self-centered. They want what they want, and they want to live in a world in which their attitudes and beliefs can be fulfilled. But they come into the world without a sense of responsibility. They do not realize that they cannot do certain things without endangering their own survival. Animals don't know this because, actually, except for man, their survival is not endangered in their natural state. They will survive because of the fact that they cannot go against law. They have no way to go. They have no mind to tell them what to do that isn't lawful, or how to escape the natural problems of existence. Man has developed these additional values. They have been given to him that he might be the creature that becomes self-governing, self-ruling, and self-dedicating. It is the hope of the powers of nature that man will become a faithful shepherd in the garden that the Lord has given him, that man will become an instrument for the fulfillment of the divine plan in nature, and that he will become the Lord over all animals and creatures, over planets and worlds, but in this rulership will be forever obedient and completely dedicated to the divine purpose. This type of thing we have to work with some way at this time. I think we shall have to get over the idea that we're going to be able to vote these things into existence. Individuals who have never made any effort to change their own nature are voting to have governments change theirs. And yet when someone comes along that might do it, that will interfere with selfishness, they will turn on him. There is no way in which you can correct a human being successfully from the outside. There is no way in which you can free him from the consequences of his own outside actions. But all outsides are governed from the inside. Therefore, the great government, the universal government, the divine government, is communicated through the individual and not to him. It is his own experience rising up. It is the mellowing result of life and living. It is the inevitable conclusion that comes through the experience and the practice of the various processes of existence. Man can come together, not by having identical attitudes or the same governments or the same arts and sciences, but by the same integrities. For the basic integrities are what create governments, what create laws, create sciences and arts. And where the integrities are wrong, the arts, sciences, and governments become corrupt. Therefore, for everything that we need and everything that we desire, there is a proper way of attaining that. There is a way to have peace. There's a way to have security in this world. There's a way to go on doing better things. But the result that we seek has to come from inside ourselves. We have to stop cheating every day. We have to stop all these little deceits. And while that is always very important, there is also the emotional and spiritual relationships of people that are very important. Relationships of integrities, that we admire people for what they are. And when they are doing a good job, we roll up our sleeves and help them. All of the cooperating emergencies that arise can be handled by thoughtful people. Little by little, we can lift the problems of poverty. We can lift all these different racial and other situations that are dangerous, but only when the one life in all of us is allowed to shine out. We are one life, and why everything we do should be divided so that this life is forever turning on itself in destruction and anger. This is something that human beings themselves must face. Now, education helps, but there's something else beside that. We have to find some way of getting at this internal. For it is this internal which, releasing itself or being released, brings with it maturity. There is no maturity until the best in us governs the rest of us. Until that day, we are perpetual adolescents. There is no way in which we can solve any problem unless we can be higher in our values than the problem. We must be better than the need, or we cannot solve it. We must see more clearly, or we cannot cover and uncover the obstructions of life. So we have to work constantly as persons. And how do we do this? Well, one of the things that's doing it is the gradual desperation that is arising in ourselves. We are losing every day faith in the power of external things to solve our problems. We are no longer aware of the probability that a group of people anywhere can take care of the troubles that we're in. It becomes obvious that these troubles arise in ourselves. Crime arises not in society, it arises in persons. Now, many of these persons do not recognize crime. They do not know that they are criminals. They only know that they are hating something, not believing something, or trying to get something dishonestly. They believe in violence. They believe in accumulation without principle. As long as this continues, we will punish them, imprison them, fine them, ostracize them, but nothing will change. The change has to come inside of them just as it has to come inside of us. And when things get so bad that nature can't handle it any other way, these decisions are forced upon us. They are forced by circumstances that we cannot resist. They bring us solutions through a solution only. It must be right. It must be done correctly. And little by little, the individual comes to the inevitable conclusion that it is better to be right and happy than wrong and miserable. And we have only the one choice to make. So in the problem of maturity, I would like to kind of think that the divine in us is something that is so stupendous, so complete, so irrefutable, that if we can just accept it. And how do we come to accept it? I would suspect that one of the ways is to accept it is to look out, see things as they are, and then suddenly realize change is possible. The change is possible, and the first step is to correct our own faults. When we see someone else unpleasant or unhappy, we can ask ourselves, how do we feel? When we find someone is unkind, are we strong enough not to return that unkindness? Are we strong enough to keep the simple commandments of Jesus? Are we strong enough to return good for evil? Are we able to do those things which constitute forgiveness or for the regeneration of our own attitudes? As we become merciful, so we shall have mercy. And when we put our own lives in order, we will begin to be more aware of the divine order. And little by little, the small leaven in the loaf can bring the whole thing to pass. But to be better than we are, we must know that we need to be better. We cannot go along carelessly and indifferently doing what we've always done and wait for paradise. It won't come. But if we can look at each day and see that it's a little better than the former day, it will do a great deal of good. I like the Pythagorean discipline on this. It seems to me that it is very adequate. And that is, at the end of the day, look back and figure out what kind of a day you had. Think of the things you have done that were good. Think of the things that you have done that were not good. Did you answer the phone call when someone was in trouble? Did you say the kind word? Did you forgive somebody an oversight? Did you lose the tendency to aggravation or difficulty? Did you become capable of standing interruption without irritation? Little by little, are you able to gradually dominate the negative aspects of your own life? Are you weary from work or weary from objection to work? Are you tired from the things you do or tired from the attitudes you have about them? Work on these things every day with the Pythagorean system and see if at the end of a week or 2 weeks you can look back at certain corrections you have made. Try to think in each day how it should have been done if you did not do it that way. If you were able to rise above the situation, then you're entitled to a little compliment for yourself. If you fell below the norm, then you should reprove yourself. And keep on striving to maintain an internal equilibrium. To be at peace with self is to allow the divine to come through. When we are in its way, when our own opinions come first and universal law gets in the best it can, we'll have troubles. But if we are still, we will know what is right. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and recognize that from within, if we are unselfish and do not have prejudices or conceits, we will be told what to do next and it will be right. And it will usually be a little difficult, but it will be rewarded by a permanent improvement of life and character. We have to recognize that while we are under the government of states and nations, the final government is heaven. We are all children of one divine order. We are all parts of one vast hierarchy or vast race that inhabits space. We are also one people on this little planet. And the largest part of our job is to finally become one happy family here. If we become capable of living together at peace on this earth, we will have had a spiritual achievement, and the people of the day when peace is among us all will be able to say that they are mature. Maturity is definitely the ability to face problems without distress, to face situations with kindness and loving thoughtfulness, to overcome all prejudices, to leave behind all contentions, and to realize that we just have a few years here into which to grow, and we cannot afford to waste time doing something else. We've got to get to the work that we were intended to do. And if we do that, then we'll have something to be proud of, and we will have the ability to meet the face and face the future wisely. Until those times come, we have to keep on recognizing that we're children. And worse than that, we're juvenile delinquents. We are doing the things we shouldn't do and trying to glorify them. We are building monuments to the wrong people. We are creating great systems of ambition. We are jealous of things that we should be ashamed of. We believe in values that do not exist. And we are willing to compromise our place in the universal plan to try to improve a situation here that's going to be only a few years at best. Man is also the only creature that we know that knows he isn't permanently here. Animals don't know that. This is probably one of the reasons why they get along better. They are not aware of this. They have no concept of time as we know it. They have life, and then there is the absence of it. And in the jungle, in a moment, death takes away the life of the animal. They have life as long as they can defend it. But when they can no longer defend it, they vanish. We have life as long as we can defend it, but we have other ways of assailing it. But most of all, we are creatures that know that everything in this world is transitory. We know beyond question our true orientation in space. We know what we do. We know approximately how long we have to do it in. We know why we're here if we do a little thinking, and we certainly know that we have to pass through experiences and then quietly depart. Now, as we have no permanence, everything that we now call ambition and fame is exceedingly transitory. It may be nice to be respected in your own time, but it is not worthwhile to be respected, as the dictator does, by bringing death to millions of people. We may be a little bit proud of having a successful business, but this does not entitle us to the satisfaction of knowing that we are living well for the good of others. Selfishness, in other words, has no future. Selfishness is a mortal thing. Every possession we have is going to leave us. If we possess people, they are going to leave. If we possess things, they will either be taken away or disintegrate of themselves. If we build great careers, we have 15, 20 years of leadership and then obsolescence. We are in the same condition as the Hoover vacuum machine and the Bristol's rug carpet cleaner. It wears until it wears out, and then we have to get another one. Everything that we have is perishable, except that which is the source of ourselves. Down inside of the thing that we know as ourselves is something that is not transitory. It is the life that has descended. It didn't begin with us. It has always been. It's the light of the sun. It's the light of the stars and of space. It is the energy that thrills the atoms. It is one indivisible eternal life. The service of that life is the only thing that is important. And we owe that life everything that we are. And it owes us nothing unless we earn it. Life, therefore, has placed us in the presence of an eternal problem in order that we may master that problem, that we shall become worthy of the heritage, that we shall become good and faithful servants of the divine plan of things. We cannot be good servants if we are ignorant. And we cannot be part of a great divine plan unless we are able to understand it and cooperate with it. We do not ask to understand it all. All we can do is the best we can and offer ourselves cheerfully and unselfishly to the advancements of purposes beyond human understanding. But the whole theory upon which modern man moves, this temporariness, this thing that comes and goes, this fact that the ambitions all come to nothing. Why in the world have we been able to continue this age after age and never realize the facts? I think probably the answer is we haven't dared to think about the facts, and while we're alive, we're going to make the best of it. But this isn't true. We're not even making the best of it while we're here. That way of life, which is going to be eternally valuable, is that way of life which is valuable now if we can cultivate it. The best in us now is the part that is going to serve us forever. We're going out in places where there will not be any cocaine or morphine. We do not have any right to assume that making a fortune out of making other people sick and destroying them is a career. And we're going to have this problem until each individual in his own inner life makes a statement of values and keeps it. When the individual himself says no to temptation, there is no temptation. But as long as compromise for profit, fame, or notoriety is possible, we're going to have delinquency. As long as dissipation is happiness, true happiness is frustrated. So I think we must think of maturity now as outgrowing the smallness of our own life, outgrowing all the childish mistakes that we now regard as careers, and gradually come to realize our eternal citizenship, and that in that eternal citizenship we are somewhere between here and there. We are much more than we were. We must become more than we are. And by growing in spirit and in truth and in love and in understanding, we are gradually going to accomplish the purpose. We are going to carry with us into other embodiments in the future good karma, the continuing reward of right. We will discover that there is no such a thing as a punishment that makes anybody, including God, happy. A punishment is the result in ourselves of having broken these rules. When we stop breaking them, karma becomes a glorification of our good deeds. We can have a great and wonderful life. Once in a while we see someone who seems to be having that now. And now we may be a little jealous of them. We say that they were dishonestly privileged in some way. But happiness and security must be earned. And a life that is dedicated to principles is not a disaster or an impossible miracle in space. A right life, well lived, is a natural reward of integrities. There are honorable people, and we can study them also and can find out how and why they lived better lives, simply because they had released more internal potential. And we have to all understand this and gradually release it as much as we can. If we do that, we'll be on our way to maturity. We will realize that maturity is not the right to be wrong. Maturity is not the privilege to dissipate. Maturity is not that the individual is old enough to break the rules of society. Maturity is not the person who is determined to waste his time doing things that are even below the level of childishness. Maturity is not the right to watch television 8 hours a day. Maturity is not the privilege to watch violence anywhere. Maturity is the individual becoming censorship over his own attitudes. So that he turns off what he knows is not right without a second of hesitation. And if necessary, disposes of a whole career, if this career is gradually killing him. Little by little, we're going to make some good changes in life and do things that are right. And then we'll be mature. Instead of that, it's simply perpetual adolescence. It's the individual who will not grow up because he does not want the burdens of right living. He wants to do just as he pleases and have a happy life. But unless his pleasing is in harmony with the divine purpose, he is not going to have a happy life. It's up to each person to make a distinct effort to correct in himself those evils which he sees in society around him and which he thinks are endangering the survival of his civilization. Civilization will go on. We will in due time make the corrections, but we are doing it the hard way. We should be doing these things of our own free will that are being forced upon us by disaster. We can change it, however, for when we begin to do it right, things will fall into place and we'll find this much more pleasant world than we ever thought it was. We can all grow up. And in growing up, we do not grow old. It is not a sign of maturity that we are aged. The most active, wonderful, and resilient people in the world are those who have maybe reached considerable age and yet are still living, thinking, dreaming, hoping, building. And when the time comes to go, as one of them said, this is the experience I've been waiting for. This is the only thing that is left necessary to me to prove the eternity of the plan. Whatever we go to, as Socrates said, we go to silence or we go to instruction. And whichever it is, we are content. But we have to earn the right to live well here and to die with a good hope. Until we do these adjustments and think these things through, we have no right to regard ourselves as grown up. We are just more or less prodigies, infants with prodigious minds in some direction, but very short on integrities. Until this thing is corrected, we're going to be in about the same condition we are now. And as we don't want to do anything like that, we want to get better. We might as well start right away and save time and energy. Well, I guess that's it.